From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show. Super excited today. As usual, we're on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And we have a pair of guests today that are a part of this. As you know, that igniting the entrepreneurial revolution, it is not easy. In order to win, in order to accomplish something big, it helps if you have an advantage. So we are building the Backyard Advantage, the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs. And the two guests today are kind of in the midst of this backyard, two local entrepreneurs doing something I think very, very helpful. Obviously, they're building businesses, but they're doing things that are helping our fellow citizens, really making an impact, a positive impact on society. We have one of our entrepreneurs is helping the elderly, people like me, right? Us old folks. And the other is focused on helping more of the younger people. So it's a really interesting dichotomy, but it's two separate businesses. So I'll make sure I get this straight. It is Unica is Jonathan is your last name, and you are the owner and area developer of Code Ninjas. So we'll find out about Code Ninjas. You're helping young people. And then, of course, we have Rohan Kulkarni. You are the co-founder of Ask Jerry, and Ask Jerry is helping the elderly, and actually, you are a portfolio company of the Growth Factory, so I have a little bit of knowledge about your business already. So let's stop me talking for a minute, and Unica, well, let's get your background. How did you end up getting over to Code Ninjas? How did that
start? Yeah, actually, that all started with me working in corporate and feeling like there's more that I can do. You know, more that I can do for the next generation. And my husband still works in corporate tech company. And so for him, it's like there's a lot of kids coming in, graduating from college, and they have all the theory. They're learning all the things, but they didn't have a lot of runtime to actually make their contributions or what they learned effective immediately at the level.
Didn't have
of
the
work.
Hands-on
they did not.
Training,
right?
And when I hear the word code and then ninjas, coding obviously it's something to do with programming,
right?
And you know, writing code.
Exactly. But at that young age, we're actually teaching them more of problem solving, critical thinking, creative thinking, thinking logically, right? Like, how do we get computers to do what we want them to do? And if we're not able to communicate with AI, right, then we're basically creating a future for young kids to just be consumers of AI versus creators of it. So we want to make sure that we build the building blocks in the brains of little kids to start thinking the way computers think so that they could direct and create the new world.
So your husband is seeing people coming out of college that aren't prepped. They're not
correct.
Quite ready yet for prime time. And you're working with younger people than that.
Yes.
What age do they begin working with you?
Kindergarten.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we get them started at a very, very young age to just get used to like loops, repetition. Like, what does that even mean? Why does it matter that we need to tell a computer to do things step by step? Like brushing your teeth, making a peanut butter sandwich, right? Those are all things that require step-by-step instructions. And as human beings, our processing, right? Cognitive processing skills are so quick that we're doing it immediately and they take it for granted. But computers aren't smart like that. You know, so how do you break that thing down and articulate it back out? And so we're making kids learn at that slower pace. And it's a struggle, right? Because they're like, I want it fast. You know, with social media and computers right now, it's like, I get that quickly. So it's tough to be able to be in a world where everything's quick, and yet you're going to have to learn so that you can create that world. You have to slow down.
Interesting. Okay, we'll dive a little bit deeper into that because I have a couple of follow-up questions, but I want to give Rohan, you are, you're Ask Jerry, your name of your company, and tell us about your road to helping the elderly, right? Helping old folks, older than me, I think, at some level, but you're helping people that I think maybe less, I don't want to say they're forgotten, but we need to find a way to help our older folks. So what led you to that journey?
Yeah, so for me, I think a big part of it from, like, I have a co-founder, right? And my co-founder has his story of what kind of influenced him. But I think for me, a big part of it was volunteering at, like, old age homes and seeing, like, especially low-income old age homes and kind of seeing, like, these people, it's unfortunate to say, but they have been kind of forgotten. The world just doesn't give them the attention that they kind of deserve, especially considering these are the people who built a lot of the things that we take advantage of today. And just seeing, especially how COVID impacted that, and like now they couldn't even communicate with each other, and like stuff like it sounds almost comical, but like stuff like bingo night got canceled and movie nights got canceled, and simply because they
bingo night. Oh
yeah,
no!
Yeah, I know exactly. Right? And it's like something you'd see at a movie, but it's like it actually is important to these people.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And so seeing that get canceled, I was like, wow, this is actually really sad to watch. And then me and my co-founder Rishi kind of worked together and tried to brainstorm like what could be done. And that's kind of where we came to Jerry. And we still acknowledge that Jerry isn't meant to be a replacement for people. It's meant to be a supplement. It's meant to like fill in the gaps where like no one else is available. And that's fundamentally what it is. It's a supplement for a kind of a bigger issue at hand. And it doesn't directly address the bigger issue, but it helps reduce the pain. It alleviates some of that pain.
Is part of that issue just the loneliness that can happen and set in for elderly people? Because they get a little bit forgotten about sometimes.
It truly does happen. One of our first beta testers was a woman, and she lived in a quite isolated area in Auburn. And just like there wasn't very many opportunities to meet people. Her closest neighbor was 2 miles away. And so like, seeing her interact with Jerry and like seeing her surveys and seeing how she like used the app, we saw like this could actually make a difference. And that's kind of the main thing that like kind of drove us like kind of trying to scale it up and impact as many people as possible.
And you're a young person as well. You started the company, how long ago? Sounds like it was during COVID.
Yeah, so we started it about a year and a half ago.
About a year and a half ago. And how old are you?
I'm 18 now.
You're 18. So you started it when you were in high school.
Yeah, high school.
And where did you, so originated the ICE, were you going through the Roseville Rising program with us? Or how did we run into you? How did my team find you?
Oh, so we weren't actually going through any Roseville Rising program. We actually started Jerry. We built the original prototype over one night. Me and Rishi kind of just pulled an all-nighter and built the whole thing.
So you had kind of a little bit of you had some technical ability as a high school.
Yeah, we already had some technical.
Because I think you're the youngest founders we've ever investing into these high school people. So this is interesting. And Unica, and how do you and Unica know each other?
Yeah, so I actually used to work at Unica's Code Ninjas locations.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, so Unica was saying before the show that, you know, she's helping young people, you're helping old people, but she's actually helping old people too because she's helping you.
Yeah.
Is that a fair statement? Does she have some influence over like the trajectory of your career and what you guys are doing today?
Absolutely. I think seeing how like Unica runs a business and seeing how they sort of operate and like the way they treat their employees, and it's very well. And I think that's kind of really influenced how we've decided to run our business and like just the way we operate. And then fundamentally also from like the mission standpoint, the way that they're helping people, we're trying to help people in like, not necessarily the same way, but like in that same spirit.
Yeah. Well, I think it's definitely an inspiration for young people out there to meet somebody that, you know, you and I were talking before the show, what led me to starting the show is I wanted to meet people who had done it before, who I could sort of see myself in them at some level. I could connect in terms of like the type of person that they were, and maybe I can do it too to inspire the next one in line. And that's really what the show is about. So if you are a parent out there, or you are in high school or middle school, we have a direct example of somebody who built a product basically from scratch as a 16-year-old and now has launched it, gotten funded by the Growth Factory, and I know you're sort of off to the races now. And then we have Unica, who is helping young people. So you're right in the middle of that. I think it gives a lot of optimism for parents out there to know that, you know, you don't just have to drop your kids off at school like daycare, forget about them, and, you know, hope they get an education. There's actually ways to think a little bit more creatively about how to develop your child.
Absolutely. And I, you know, Rohan is like a great example of how you know, how the future is actually being shaped by younger people, younger and younger and younger people, because technology is so accessible. And so if we start our kids at a young age to be able to think creatively, the sky is the limit, right? Like nowadays, he's 17. It's not like the way it used to be where you have to get this education. There's this formula for you in order to own a business. You have to earn blah, blah, blah. At this point, it's very much as long as you have what it takes, everything's there for you to be able to utilize the tools that you have around you, and people like the Growth Factory, like, and what you're doing to be able to come alongside, you know, the younger people to invest in the future that they're building for themselves and for the world. I'm just excited that no matter where we are in the process, like, we get to be a part of that solution.
Yeah. So one of the things I've often thought of is, you know, what school does, my kids are grown and now I've got 9 grandkids, but which school are they going to send them to? Are they going to homeschool them? My son's got 2 very little ones that he's trying to make some of those kind of decisions on right now. And hearing that you can start working with children in kindergarten with these more developed ideas that they wouldn't normally get in kindergarten, mm-hmm. that you can get that, because I have this, I don't know if it's a theory or if it's proven, you may know this, Unica, that society, we go to school, we're told to get in line, do your job, get your homework, memorize this, memorize that. Next thing you know, we're sort of conforming to the societal pressures, get a job, get your degree, get a job, you know, all these things. And we sort of, our creative side gets kind of withers away at some level, or at least it goes dormant. Then when you get older, it goes away a lot. But if you can learn to start developing that creativity at 5 years old, at 10 years old, at 15, then, you know, that's when we're the most imaginative.
Right. Exactly.
Are there studies on that, or have you just found that?
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, for us at Code Ninjas, we teach kids how to code through game building, something that's fun for them, something that they want to be doing, right? Because they want to play those games and they get to be creative. Now, at that young age, you know, kindergarten and stuff like that, we allow them to storytell. Like, what is in your imagination? Can you put it on a game? Where it might not be an actual game, but it's a movie, right? With little characters that move in the direction of what your imagination is telling you should happen, right?
Wow. So it might be something that you saw from walking through the woods with your grandpa, and you saw some wild turkeys or something like that. Right. You could have a turkey game.
Correct. Yeah. Wow. Or like in your imagination, if you have 3 characters, one's a dog, one's an octopus, and the other one is, I don't know, a bird. What would happen if all of them get together? And then their creative juices get flowing, right? And they have all the tools to get all of those characters in play, you know, then the sky's the limit, right?
And then they create a game that they can play and be proud of, mm-hmm. and everybody, I'm sure in the family is proud of it. And mm-hmm. once you learn it, then you become an entrepreneur potentially, or you when you get out of college, at least you've got some hands-on, influence. So I want to dive back into a little bit more of like how AI plays into this, but I want to go back over to the Jerry story, Rohan. So as a young person, what additional challenges did you run into in terms of, like, you launched a business as a child? You're a minor and you're launching a business. Does that add any extra complexity or difficulty?
Yeah, it for sure does. Simply, I think like the biggest thing is just school and how do you balance your schoolwork with like starting a business. And like the biggest thing I would say is like it's very much doable. You have to be willing to sacrifice though. And you're gonna have to be willing to sacrifice a little bit of school. And I think that generally is the side that has a little more give. The business, it's pretty rigid. You have to just give as much time as possible to that. But the school, you can miss a few days, you'll be fine. And I think that's kind of like the main thing I experienced last year and like as I finished high school. And it's that you can afford to miss school. You just have to be willing to like get yelled at a little bit. Your parents might get mad at you. Teachers might get mad at you.
I was going to ask you, what did your parents think about you starting this? Were they highly supportive? Or there are no? I remember when I asked my mom and dad if I could, or my mom, if I could have a paper route when I was a little kid. She told me no, right? I was too young to have a paper route. Next thing you know, they dropped off the papers at my house and I'm delivering newspapers. But they weren't against entrepreneurship. They're just like, you're too young. What are you talking about? You're crazy.
Yeah, I definitely experienced that. My parents were always like, are you sure this is the best way? Is this the best use of your time? Why don't you go play sports? Go focus more on golf. I used to be a golfer. So it was like, they're like, it very quickly became like, oh, just focus on what everyone else does. Do what everyone else wants to do in high school. But I think taking your own path and doing what you truly love. And for me, that was business, was a big, big thing that helped me. And being able to sacrifice what I honestly didn't love as much.
Was there anything, like, it's easy to be scared when you're doing something new, and when you're doing something that's, some people might call outlandish, right? You're a 16-year-old kid starting a tech company, getting funded. It's like, that's not the traditional path.
Yeah.
Was it scary?
Yeah, it was for sure scary. Okay. In the beginning. I mean, like talking to people, talking to like 55-year-old people, I mean, as a 16-year-old, it can be a little intimidating, but I think you get used to it, and the fear quickly goes away the second you're confident in your product. When you're confident in what you're doing and you truly believe it's what the right thing is, everything else kind of just becomes like on the side.
Okay, so I want to dive into the product a little bit more now, because I kind of gave it the short shift, if you will. You're helping people solve this loneliness problem, mm-hmm. by building, what's the product look like?
So, just like purely from a user interface standpoint, it's a very simple interface. You click a button and you talk to essentially an avatar. And what that avatar does is it responds the same way a friend would respond. It learns about you, kind of stretches itself, and it helps you kind of grow as a person too. And it essentially, we've noticed that people develop a relationship with it just because of the conversations it starts and what it learns and how it like responds to your statements and how like it'll throw in a joke here and there, and it truly does talk like.
Okay, so we've all used like Siri, right?
Yeah.
So kind of walk me through like a use here. Is it anything like that? Like, yes, hey Siri, they canceled bingo tonight. What do you think I should do?
For example, Siri in that situation would probably pull up a bunch of Google articles.
Okay.
This is what you do if they canceled XYZ. And then it's not actually telling you what to do. It's finding information that other people have created and saying, okay, this is what you should do. It's not personalized to you, though. Jerry, on the other hand, would say, it would give you a suggestion. It would give you a few suggestions, but those suggestions would be based on the personality you've shown it. The same way, like, if you asked a friend, oh, they canceled this movie, there was no more tickets for this movie. What other movie should I watch? And it's going to find movies that you would also like.
Okay.
And then it would give that suggestion. So in the same way, so Jerry in this situation would probably, I don't know, it depends on the user, but it would find suggestions like, oh, maybe bake some brownies or like something like that.
How does it find out the information about you? So let's say I like to play cards. Would recommend, why don't you play solitaire? You know, do they have solitaire where you can play it by yourself? That type of thing.
Yeah, it's the same way that a friend would do it, just through conversation. It learns.
And it's artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to circle back over to Unica about artificial. So you're designing, you're helping a child design a game. And then how does artificial intelligence play into the coding aspect of the technology? What right. Are they using the word artificial intelligence, or what kind of?
They are. I mean, it's getting there right now. The AI is in the back. Which is basically being able to take the code that the kid writes, you know, and seeing whether or not they're missing something or what they could suggest to be a better way of writing the code, which is more efficient, right? So it's still rudimentary in terms of that, because the level of things that the kids are learning isn't like at the AI level that, you know, Ask Jerry is at, you know what I mean? But in terms of what we're trying to teach kids is basically knowing that if you understand how computers work, you could design AI. Just like, you know, Rohan is actually programming Jerry to ask the right questions, to take the right information from the clients that, you know, are talking to them, right? The more that the client is talking to Jerry, the more information, personalized information that Jerry has. And so the more personalized suggestions and advice that Jerry could give that client, right?
Okay.
But it depends on Rohan and his partner knowing what questions to have Jerry ask. That is personal, right? So that's the programming part of it. That's the genius of the human mind and creativity to be able to ask the right questions.
Okay, so Rohan, walk me through your path to 16 to be able to do this. Were you a student of Code Ninjas? Is that how it was? Or did you work there?
Yeah, I used to work there. I was never a student. Okay. But I think working there, sort of experiencing like, I think like working there and teaching other people how to code, you in a way do get better at coding yourself. I already had a coding background. I started coding at around 14.
Yeah. How did that happen? Because I'm kind of curious about that. So I can imagine this. You come in, you're in kindergarten, you've made a few games. Now all of a sudden you realize that maybe you have a gift or some kind of talent in this area. And then what do you teach yourself that, or did you go learn it somewhere?
Yes. I think a lot of my coding skill came like during like COVID when I was doing school from home. And I think that's just the extra time I got. I was probably doing an hour of school a day. And then all the other time I would normally spend like at school, I hate to say it, but wasting time. I was just learning and I was learning and I was searching for things I liked. And I went through a bunch of different things. I was like, what do I like? And I ended up finding coding. And I think finding coding as like the thing I truly enjoyed was awesome for me. And it gave me so many more opportunities. And I started building projects and I joined research projects and I just started developing my skills, and eventually by the time I was like 16 and a half, 17, I had what it takes.
Okay. So I'm sort of naive to how you might get from, you know, I know how to code a little bit, but then I got great at it in this very short period of time. What is that? Did you get involved in a program or did you watch YouTube videos? Was it just reading?
It's YouTube videos and reading. Like basically anything you need to learn can be found on YouTube nowadays. And then books can help you find like the more specific things. Like if you want to learn how to build like a very specific type of algorithm, a book's the best way to do that.
What about now that ChatGPT's out there? Are you utilizing those kind of things to gather general data instead of search?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. There's definitely ways like it can really help with a lot of like debugging issues. Okay. Like I don't personally code as much on Jerry anymore. We have a team that does that, but like when we were coding, ChatGPT was great for finding bugs. Like it's hard to look through 1,000 lines of code. It takes a while, but you can put that in ChatGPT and solve the same bug. And it's not 100% accurate, but you can solve basically the same bug in like a tenth of the time.
Interesting. So when you're training the young people, Unica, and you're beginning to, you know, a kindergartner is different than a sixth grader that's been doing it since kindergarten. Mm-hmm. Walk me through like the progression, if you don't mind. Consider me a kindergartner, right? So I start and I'm beginning to build these basic games with a lot of hand-holding. What am I doing after 4 or 5 years of, I guess, experience in this realm? And then what happens by the time I'm in high school?
Right. So it gets a little bit more complex, right? So and at first it's just introduction, exposure, being able to use things. And what Code Ninja's curriculum does is it hides all of the complex code to make it easy for where you're at your level. Like, let's just focus on this. If you know the steps to start a code and how to use loops at this level, that's what you're doing. Then at the next level, we're actually opening up the behind the scenes code a little bit more. So there's more functions that you're going to have to build on your own. Whereas before, those functions are there, you just plug and play.
Okay.
Right? So now you're gonna actually think about building those functions that you want to use so that it tailors to your project. And then at the end, the capstone project is a game that you basically start from scratch. In the past, like the levels before that, they tell you what to build. Here's what we want you to build. You know, you have creativity on how you want to build it, but it requires X, Y, Z. And unless it fulfills X, Y, Z, you're not going to pass to the next level. At the final level, it's very much, you have the ability to create whatever it is that you want. You have the building blocks now to do what you want to do, right? We're here to support you, but we're going to take you from, you know, imagination to paper to plan it out. You know, what is required in your game? What do you want your game to accomplish? What instructions do you need to have that game accomplish? You know what I mean? What graphics do you want to look for those things and spend time creating your graphics, and then we'll help you, you know, make sure that it becomes a coherent game that somebody else could play, that is playable.
Okay.
So that's what ends up happening.
So were you involved in working with some of our programs through with Monique and the Growth Factory?
Build Up Rockland.
Okay, yes. The Build Up Rockland. Okay, yes. So you were part of that.
Yes.
And so you're dealing with, I guess, a wide range of adults,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
What contrast the difference between working with adults and working with young people, the more fresh minds?
Yeah, I mean, I love working with adults because I'm able to have more of that deep conversation. Not everything is just whatever you say, you know, but there's a challenge, there's thought process, there's discovery. That I love with working with adults. With kids, it's more of, it's what, you know, Rohan was basically saying, if you're able to teach a kid, you're teaching yourself at the same time. So for me, the joy of working with kids is, hey, this is what I know. If I'm able to break this down to a kindergartner, you know, I think kindergartners are the test, right? Like, if I'm able to break it down in a way that uses language that a kindergartner can understand and they get that light bulb aha moment, I'm like, yes, score. So
it's almost like you're a school teacher at some level, because yes. I know some of the challenges. So I have 9 grandkids. So I have 2 kids, 9 grandkids, and they're all different personalities, mm-hmm. right? So I have some that can't sit still, right. And others that, you know, will lock on and play Legos or do whatever for a long period of time. So I'm kind of curious as to, like, what some of the weird things that you have to deal with is, especially when you're dealing with little kids like that and trying to get them to understand something like computers versus, like, running around and climbing on the curtains.
It's meeting them where they're at. I mean, it's funny you say that, because there's a variety of kids that enter Code Ninjas. Not all of them want to be there. Yeah. You know, some of them, the parents want them there. The others, they think it's coding, so it's computers, so it's just playing games. And then there's others that are, you know, the younger versions of Rohan that's just like, this is amazing. I could do this all day. And they're hungry for it, right? So the diversity of kids and personalities that are there.
Do you feel like you have to sort of split them up a little bit so that the Rohans can have their chance to not monkey around,
right,
if you will.
Right. I mean, we do split. There's different programs that we have. Like, we have summer camps. Summer camps are a totally different beast compared to, like, the regular weekly sessions, you know, the weekly create sessions. The kids that come there pretty much know that I'm there to learn.
Okay.
It's fun, but I'm there to learn. I get breaks for time being, but this is what I'm doing.
A little bit like, would it be a little bit like I'm taking guitar lessons or volleyball lessons with a private instructor?
Yeah. Except it's not private. You have other kids there,
okay,
you know, learning at the same time. And you have our senseis, you know, which is what Rohan was when he worked with us, like big brothers, big sisters, mentors, you know.
So it's kind of cool, too.
Yeah,
it's not like it's the old people.
Right.
You're not old. They're not learning from me, which I couldn't teach them anyway. But okay, very interesting. You mind if I ask you about pricing? So I'm sure if anybody's listening that has kids, I'm sitting here curious as a grandfather to sponsor one of my grandkids or see if any of these people are interested, because I have a few that I think might be geared that way more than a few of the others. What's a camp run? What are the everyday lessons run?
Right. The camps run around like $327 per camp. That's a week-long camp. For a few hours a day, half-day camps. And then if you want a full-day camp, you could have 2 blocks of those with lunch in between. So that would be a full-day camp. Our weekly lessons are basically, if you want to come for 8 hours a month, I believe that's like $297 per month. And if you're coming for like 1 hour a week, so for like 4 hours a month, that's like $197.
Okay, sounds like it's between $30 to $50 an hour, depending on the quantity you buy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. That seems reasonable to me. It sounds like a lot of money, maybe to a lot of people, but I've seen what people pay private lessons to, you know, do for sports, and it's, you know, that's what
it's
it costs. It's not cheap to go learn how to hit a baseball.
Right. And for me, what I, you know, I have my daughter in this as well, and she's doing, you know, piano and all these other things too. But one of the reasons why we want her here is because just because you're learning how to code doesn't mean that you are going to be in the tech field when you grow up. as you know, in your career. It doesn't tie you down. It actually expands the options that you have, right? I'm not in the tech field, you know, in my career at all. Mm-hmm. But knowing tech, knowing how to use it, knowing how important it is and how to take advantage of it for process efficiencies, for automation, all of that stuff, like it puts you at a different level. Yeah.
I would say that, but to both of you guys, that question, because obviously you're down this entrepreneurial path, you'll build this company, probably have some kind of exit at some point, you'll be on to the next thing, and you'll be 25 or 30, right? You're still going to be a young person.
Yeah.
But as you project out the acceleration in technology these days with artificial intelligence and just how fast the world is changing, when you think about like career pathing, mm-hmm. I'll throw this to both of you. After... Ask Jerry, you probably never be, once you've been an entrepreneur, you can't go back at that point. You're going to do it again. Yeah. But just advice to other people that are thinking about, you know, career pathing. Some of these jobs are going to be eliminated that we now think of as like regular everyday job. I'm going to grow up and be like, do this, maybe even a truck driver. Yeah. Well, that might be automated at some point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very hard to predict what's going to be gone in 10 years. I think we can kind of get like a rough idea of what probably won't exist, but it's hard to be exact. So I would say build the skills that you want to build, but also the skills that like you predict will kind of be needed. And I think I think technology is probably the biggest one. I think like my friends who are going to college, I hear, and they're already in their first year, I hear them talking about it. No matter what class, no matter what major you are, you're gonna need to know how to code. The bio majors need to know how to code. And I think that for a long time was kind of unheard of, right? Mm-hmm. Bio majors learn about cells. You don't learn how to about like sequencing genomes using Python, right? So it's the same thing.
Right.
I think technology right now, technology is the biggest thing. You just have to know how to do it.
By the way, are your friends that are in college jealous of what you're doing? Or envious, maybe a better word? Like, God, how cool that is that? Just like I'm kind of envious of people that might be... I'm envious of you, of course, but not in a bad way, but more like impressed, inspired. I'm inspired by people that are, you know, got a college scholarship and are playing baseball in college or football in college. That's inspiring to me to see greatness sort of unfold before my very eyes. I have to imagine your friends seeing that. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of feedback on that?
No, not really.
Same old guy.
I think like most of the people I associate with are like the type of people like everyone's just as bright as like, you know, you have to surround yourself with people who are like, have the same goals as you. And I think the people I surround myself with are just the people who are going to be happy for me for everything that's good that comes.
That's awesome. Okay. So back to the career path thing. So you're probably getting this kind of question a lot from parents. Okay, so if they're not going to be a computer nerd, no question. Yeah. That's, you know, you hear that term a lot. If they're not going to be, you know, computers might not be their life, but how to shape my kids? Of course, they need to learn technology, but where should we be taking our kids in terms of like helping them create that path and decide?
Yeah. What I believe is, you know, all of us were created with a solution that's inherently in us. Yeah. And so for me as a parent is really paying attention to what draws my child to wanna, you know, what is she passionate about?
Like a gift or something like that. They're kind of like have a special unique calling almost.
Correct. Like don't, as a parent for me, it's like I am what the worst thing that I personally think that I could do is to create a path based on financial gains that I feel like you need to do this so you can make money and survive. Like for me as a child, if my parents did that, I think it would stunt my growth, right? Mm. Because then the creativity goes away. It's as if I cannot even consider these other things that I'm passionate about, that I have joy about, that I constantly think things about just because these things don't make me money. Versus now with technology and everything that's there, if I wanted to be a musician, the sky's the limit. Technology is still very much a part of that, but hone in on that. And instead of saying like, you cannot make money off of it, like YouTube now, there's people in third world countries that are making music in their homes and they're getting subscribes, like millions and millions, and they're getting paid for that. Like, we are living in a world where, like, the way of how we made money in the past is no longer the way we make money now. And so instead of stifling our children's creativity, like, pay attention to what they're passionate about, equip them, inspire them to say, like, hey, you learning how to code is gonna be able to match what you're actually enjoying in music, right? Mm-hmm. Nowadays that happens. Like, give them the ability, expose them to all of the things that they're passionate about, and let them take the risk. Like, being an entrepreneur requires risk. Like, full confession, before opening Code Ninjas, I would never have ever wanted to be an entrepreneur because I was scared out of my mind about the risks that owning a business entails. But once I got over that hump and I said, you know what, I'm just going to say yes and see where this adventure takes me, I can never go back. And it's not necessarily because of the money that I'm making or not making. It's very much because this is what's been put on my heart, to be a solution for the community, the next generation, the people that I get to work with, you know, as my employees or my staff, right? And that's what matters. It's people, it's relationships, and what can I bring to the table because of the solution that I have within me.
If you are a parent out there looking for how to raise your kids, I want you to rewind that and then just play it like five freaking times or 10, because that's like the best parent advice I feel like I've ever heard. That's phenomenal. Which, I mean, maybe it hits home for me because I did a little steering myself. Yeah. But so that's awesome. I love that. And I hope many people, I hope if you're listening and you're a parent or you have influence over a parent or a child, that's a, I mean, well said. Were your parents like that with you? Did they just sort of let you follow your dream, follow your passion?
Yeah, I think my parents are they definitely believe in the philosophy. They're a little bit more conservative on that front, but they definitely do believe a little bit in that philosophy of, like, just do what you love and the money will come. Like, you just focus on what you want to do. There's no point in making a lot of money doing something you hate. Mm-hmm. Do what you love.
Okay, so I didn't ask you about the Ask Jerry business, because I think there's probably people out there thinking they want to buy some Ask Jerry. Is it a direct-to-consumer type product?
No, we sell to business.
You sell to businesses. So who is the customer then? What kind of business?
So generally, it'd be old age home, like, management facilities, like the management teams, and they'll distribute that inside of their
So they distribute this app or the software to their residents. Yeah. My mom was the longest living resident of the, like, she lived in this one old folks home for like 40 years. And I know there was times when my brother and sisters and I didn't probably go over and visit enough or call enough. And I think she would have loved that.
Yeah.
And so you would sell that to the home, if you will. And then they would distribute that for free, or as part of the subscription for living in the facility?
Yeah, so there's like a few different business models that they can distribute it with. They could charge it like on each individual account, so like only people who pay for it get it, or it could just be like baked in, everyone gets it. And there's also a way they could do it where they can sell it to the the customers, which are the residents, and then they get like some cut from that.
And then, did you always assume that it would be driven through this, I'll call this like a B2B model versus like direct to the elderly person, like a direct to consumer?
Yeah, for a long time, our business model actually was direct to consumer. All of our beta tests were built on a direct to consumer model. But what we quickly noticed was people, like, it's a lot harder to put your credit card info into a phone than people think. And so what could very easily happen is, like, people can get confused just in like the payment processing. So it's a lot easier to kind of just pull that part away, just make it a very simple interface. You press a button, you talk, and then let someone else handle the payment.
Yeah, I could imagine, like, for our situation, us as adult children were sort of helping my mother to manage her day to day. And so we're the influencer. We're here, you're going to an actual business. Yeah. It's a little bit, I guess, easier business model.
Yeah.
And then how much does it run for, if you don't mind me asking, like, what would, What does it cost per user? Is it is that a way that you guys price it out?
Yeah, so we price based on user hours. So essentially, okay.
Per user hours. So user hours. Someone like my mom, who's super lonely, she might have used it all day long.
Yeah.
So that would have cost the retirement home more money.
Yeah, essentially. And the exact pricing is kind of dependent on the actual like contract we set up.
But, okay.
It's generally ranging between like 50 cents to like $3-4 per user hour.
Per user hour. And so I would think that most people would pass that along at some level.
Yeah.
Because somebody might, you know, sort of run up the, you know,
yeah.
overuse, I yeah. guess, and change their budgeting yeah. plans and stuff.
And we can also, like, just through negotiation, we can figure out, like, if we want to do, like, a set price per user. So, like, if there's, like, data on how much money is being used per month and, like, on averages, then we can just do, like, a you buy X amount of hours in the beginning of the month and you get unlimited, like you pay an X amount, you get unlimited hours and just per user, but it's a set cost.
Are some of these facilities, are they using this almost like a profit line? In other words, hey, I buy it for 50 cents an hour, I'll mark it up for 75 cents an hour?
No, we don't allow that.
You don't allow it?
Yeah, we don't.
There's no way to do that?
No, there's no way to do that right now.
Okay.
And we don't plan on adding that.
Do you have exclusivity so that if this... I'm using old folks home. What do you call the facilities?
Yeah, just old folks
home. Old folks home. Okay, so I don't want to be derogatory in my way of framing this. So you got the old folks home in Rockland. Is there any geographic exclusivity? So can the two locations that are might compete with each other right next door to each other, they can both have access to
absolutely.
Your business?
Yeah,
so it's for everybody.
Yeah, it's really for like improving the health, lives of people. And if we're exclusive, then we're limiting that. And that's really not the goal, yeah. Jerry.
And I don't think anybody wants that.
Yeah, no one wants that.
Okay, so you also, were you a finalist in King's Capitalize?
Yeah, we were
so you were, yeah, you, what was that like?
It was definitely a cool experience. It was my first time doing anything like that.
So you pitched in front of this group of people against entrepreneurs, seasoned entrepreneurs, yeah. I might add. And then if anybody doesn't know what King's Capitalize is, it sort of runs with collegiate basketball tournament style type thing. So you end up getting down to the final four, mm-hmm. and then somebody ends up winning.
Yeah.
Walk me through the feeling of knowing, wow, I'm a high school startup guy and I'm competing all the way to the end.
Yeah, it was cool. Like a lot of people were like, oh, you guys are the youngest Capitalized finalists so far. And it was definitely a cool experience. I met a lot of people, a lot of really, really well-seasoned entrepreneurs, people who had been doing this for 10, 12 years. That's 10, 20 years. But it was really cool to see people. And I think the connections I made there were definitely worth it.
That's great. That's great. And I think a Growth Factory company actually did win the finalists. Yeah, a company that does some education stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did I not ask you? I'll go to both of you. So what did I not ask you? And then maybe some closing thoughts, words of, I guess, encouragement or advice to fellow entrepreneurs out there, right? A lot of our listeners are either entrepreneurs, maybe wantrepreneurs, or venture capitalists, people that are in and around this small business space, startup space. So maybe what did I not ask you? And then, Unica, maybe any advice as somebody who got over her fear?
Yeah. I would say what you didn't ask me would be like for the parents with kids, the next generation, like what do you do when your kid doesn't want to do something, right? I feel like building that tenacity and that grit is super important, right? Especially coming as an entrepreneur, right? It's, and I'm not saying every child is going to be an entrepreneur, but grit and tenacity in life is just important, right? Our social media technology gives us the assumption that things go by quickly or that we could get things quickly. Mm-hmm. But the reality of life to make that happen is not that, right? It's hard work, you know? And so I feel like whatever it is that our kids are doing, support them, think positive, but at the same time, having that growth mindset, which is why I love the name Growth Factory, right? That growth mindset to be able to say, you could do this. Yes, mm-hmm. you might fail, but this failure doesn't define who you are. This failure is just the beginning of what you could do, right? Mm-hmm. And so just having that mindset to not get the easy way out, to not be like, okay, you failed once, let's just give up. Mm-hmm. You failed once, you know, I guess you're not cut out for it. You know, let's move on and do something that you can do. right? Because just because you can do something doesn't mean that's what you're supposed to be doing.
So what about the helicopter parents that don't seem to, that want the kids to get the participation trophy, which is, may make sense in some situations, but it doesn't make sense all the way through life. Right. Let them, how do we help these helicopter parents that don't want their kids to fall and get a boo-boo to allow their kids to fall and get the boo-boo? Hey, that's actually going to help them with grit.
You might have to invite me to another podcast episode. Where we,
I love it. Right, yes.
Just talk,
you and I
about
can talk parenting all day long.
All day long. And it's very much in my heart, right, to develop people, because at the end of the end, relationships, what I'm going to say to that is you could get the accomplishment, but at the end of the day, you might lose the relationship. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, my child might end up making me proud, you know, for other people to see that, hey, this is my child. Look, he or she got this award. He or she is named as top whatever, got into the best university, whatever. And yet I might not have a great relationship because that child might resent me, right, for putting her or him in that space where they might not feel heard. They might feel like, I did it for mom, I did it for dad, but I hate it. I could do it, but I hate it. And so this is why I'm like, you could totally invite me to another.
Wow, that gives me chills too. Right? You are like speaking my language, lady. Okay, so that's great advice. And we've all seen that resentment, yes, happen with people, high achievers that resent the fact that, and sometimes the parents don't even, they get so caught up in it. We get so, yeah, caught up in it that I don't want to be me, right, and they. It's like, I'm one of you. We get so caught up in the achievement of our kids. It's almost part of our identity.
Right. It's definitely not just parents. I mean, we're just talking about parents, but it's our culture, right? It's culture that actually brings handicaps to people, right? The handicap of performance, perfectionism, pride that causes us to actually be stagnant and not to live life freely with the abundance that we actually have. You know, what's the alternative to that? Like, how can we actually be who we were meant to be? You know, not being afraid of what other people will say, not being afraid of failing, not being afraid of, or working so hard that you're toiling only because, you know, you don't want to get it wrong, you know? What things are stunting us or preventing us from excelling because we're afraid of not getting it right the first time, you know? And that's the mindset of the culture that we live in, the world that we live in, you know? And I'm a recovering or recovered perfectionist, performance, you know, all of that. Like, the reason why I'm so passionate about this is because I used to be that. And if I were still operating from that space, I wouldn't be here right now talking to you.
Were you that as a parent or as a child?
As a child.
Yeah.
As a child. Yeah. And I'm very aware as a parent to not do that, you know, or at least to know that, oops, I went in that direction. Wait, let's step back. Like, how do I carve or create language that doesn't cause my child to feel like what they did didn't matter, or what matters to me is the result instead of the relationship?
Great wisdom. Okay, Rohan, I want you to top that. So what did I not ask you? And maybe some words of advice or encouragement to entrepreneurs.
Yeah, so honestly, I want to piggyback on a lot of what Unique said. I think the idea of like grit is like massive. It's going to suck at times going through the entrepreneurial journey. You're going to have to work a lot. You're going to have to stay up really late. You're going to have to miss out on fun little things that your friends do. But it's going to suck, but it's going to be worth it in the end. And what I can say is just keep working and keep working. And when you think you're almost done, just keep working and you'll get there. And
I love it.
And I think it'll pay off and you're going to really be happy in the end.
Keep working, keep working. When you think it's almost done, keep working.
Yeah,
keep working. You'll get there. I love it. Thanks for coming on the show. Fun show for me. And I had no idea really what to expect or how this show would go, but definitely a fun, educational, enlightening show for me. So thank you very much, both of you. Appreciate
thank you
it.
For having us.
You thank
bet.
You.
You bet. And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at the Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side. Yeah.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.